This program is proudly brought to you by Alan Gray, building long-term wealth for our clients since 1973.
And welcome, 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 dear listeners, wherever you find yourself, welcome to the Business and Economics segment in partnership with Alan Gray for your Wednesday evenings, primarily here on your number one talk radio station, that is Eagle FM. And yes, it is that particular time of the week. It is in the middle of the week. Obviously, it's very aptly positioned, primarily because we've got to have these engagements every Wednesday. And if you have not been following it, this is episode 5. Episode 5 also takes a slightly different meaning in terms of tone, as well as also in the engagement for today. But before I continue with that, do remember, dear listeners, you can listen to us on the Eagle FM applications, which is free to download. You can listen to us on your conventional radio set, as well as also listen to us on or through the Eagle FM website. Just Google search us, eaglefm.com.na or Eagle FM Namibia. Click on the link or on the URL. Remember that it's a big play button. If you're doing it through your phone, remember it looks like a small audio button or like a small sound icon. That's actually just enabling the audio function in that regard. And for this, turning over into this evening's discussion, I've got to welcome he's actually a new face. It's not been Etienne for the past 4 weeks. This is actually Mr. Gavin Frey. Mr. Frey, welcome. Good evening. Welcome again. And yes.
Thank you very much for having me. It's great to be here.
Now, Mr. Frey, obviously, just to sensitize the listeners, if they've not seen our social media posts as yet, guys, do have a look. Obviously, that's why we provide you with the social media updates in terms of the programs that come up, as well as also what we're going to talk about. This is centered about the unique discussion this evening about the Alan Gray Orbis Foundation. In terms of, obviously, it's got its two unique names, but it has a specific function that it also plays. And ultimately, you know, that's what we was this. You know, starting off, because for this week and next week, you will be my guest.
Yes.
You'll be my co-host and co-discussant in this discussion. But right. If we lay the groundwork, obviously, where do we start off in terms of understanding the Alan Gray Orbis Foundation before we get into sort of like the nitty-gritty of our discussion in terms of understanding the rest of the context and the history in that regard?
Yeah. Thank you very much for the invite. It's great to be here tonight. I think, you know, the essence of what we're discussing tonight is an extension of what Etienne, my colleague, has been discussing with you, which was more focused around the business.
Yeah.
And as part of our value proposition for Namibia and also elsewhere globally, is to say that everywhere that we operate, there's an inherent and an intrinsic responsibility as any good economic citizen should have the interest of the citizens at heart. And the vehicle that we've established is then really through the Alan Gray Orbis Foundation, where we have a couple of initiatives which is aimed at giving back and to, you know, bring about social change to improve the lives, as it were, for Namibians.
Yep. Now, starting from that explainer on that, you know, that insight that you just sketched there for us. If we look at primarily who the foundation is ultimately named after, if we pull the thread from there.
Yes.
So who was, you know, Mr. Alan Gray? Because obviously it's in the name,
yes,
of the entity itself. Who was Mr. Alan Gray, and primarily what motivated him to primarily start off with his own particular investment company?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Dwight. No, what comes to mind immediately is, if you look at the latest Olympics that we've just had, and we saw the gold medal that went for the 200 meters to our brother in Botswana, Tebogo, I could see across various news platforms that there was so much celebration as Africans, for that gold. And when I was sort of thinking about how to position the foundation and Alan Gray, I think we are first Africans. Yeah. And if you look at what he stands for ultimately when he formed the foundation and the philanthropy that rolls up into that, it's with a vision to meaningfully improve the lives of 10 million Africans by 2030. Mm. So Alan Gray is an African. He was born in South Africa. He was a visionary entrepreneur and a philanthropist. And he found the Allen Gray business in 1973 already, with a commitment to independent thinking and long-term investment, as you guys would have learned over the last couple of weeks. But Allen Gray Namibia specifically, we won our first mandate back in 1984. But the business was formally founded in 1996, Allen Gray Namibia Pty Limited. So we've been around for about roughly 28 years as an independent investment management company to better serve the group's Namibian clients, in particular with regard to domestic investment opportunities. And then the Allen Gray Orbis Foundation was started in 2005 and similarly founded in August 2009 in Namibia. So emerging from the vision of Mr. Allen Gray and Allen Gray, the business, it is to make a sustainable long-term contribution to nation building and economic transformation in Africa, as I've said. The foundation in Namibia in particular is funded by a 15% equity stake in Allen Gray Namibia, which means that we are a shareholder in the business. And so we benefit from the income that the business generates, and we then give it back to the community. We also receive about 5% of Allen Gray Namibia's post-tax profits in perpetuity, which means that it's a lifelong commitment by the business to give back to the society for as long as it operates in Namibia.
And flowing from, obviously, which is actually a very good, picture that you sketched there, because usually when people look at the aspect in terms of the engagements I had with ATN for the past 4 weeks, and obviously this is now, we've literally jumped over the fence, basically, because we're also looking at the CSR. Can I call it the CSR component of things?
100%.
Yeah. Yes. Because flowing into the next particular insight or the next particular question, if we ask the question in terms of, how did Mr. Gray primarily, or how did his philosophy, and his particular values help to shape the particular culture of the company, primarily of what was founded so far. How does that translate? How does that manifest? Because, yes, Namibians, they also need to understand both sides of what Allen Gray's particular impacts are from its own particular, its own particular value addition in that regard.
Correct. So Allen Gray's philosophy of patient and long-term investing sort of prioritize around client interest, right? And it's deeply influenced by the culture of the companies that he found. So his belief in integrity, independence, and excellence is reflected in the operations of all the businesses, including the philanthropy. And when I say the philanthropy is really the CSR component, as you've referred to, the foundation as such, that is sort of geared towards giving back to the community. In his words, he has emphasized in his approach that the aim is to build a business that outlasts us all by focusing on what truly matters. So our clients and their long-term interest, which includes the citizens of the country.
Just before the next short ad creeps up, dear listeners, just to highlight to you, if we do see the phone line flashing, primarily we will see how we can weave it into the discussion so far, because this is a pretty insightful discussion based upon the Allen Gray Orbis Foundation itself. One of the reasons ultimately where I actually, I am a little bit privileged of having Mr. Frey here as well for this this evening's discussion. But if, when we flow into the next talking point, Mr. Frey, or should I just stay on Gavin? Gavin,
just whatever feels comfortable.
if we primarily look at the next particular talking point, which is, in terms of just highlighting, what are the particular significant milestones that you can share with regards to what the, the foundation itself, or even, no, not foundation. Let me not start on foundation, but actually on Mr. Gray's particular career.
Yes.
In terms of, stand out to you specifically. Yeah. Just help us sketch in, how does it weave into the first particular questions that we've now sort of like covered and flowing into this particular subject matter for this third question.
Right. Some of the significant milestones obviously include the founding of the big business. So Allen Gray, that was back in 1973. He then went on to launch Orbis Investment Management, which is headquartered in Bermuda. But we've got sort of a global reach in terms of our offices. It's London, Vancouver, Sydney, San Francisco, Hong Kong, the works. So pretty much global. And the establishment of the Allen Gray Orbis Foundation in 2005. But perhaps most notably, the Alan and Jill, which is his wife's decision to donate their equity in Alan Gray to charity in 2016, marked a profound commitment to philanthropy. And when he did so, it was because he believed that we have a duty to use our resources wisely and to give back in ways that promote a better society. So I think those pretty much sum up, you know, the highlights of his career and how that has sort of transformed and evolved into the philanthropic space that we are sort of focusing on in this segment.
Yep. Now, also in the next particular sort of like, if we can call it like the branch out, this is not ultimately having to look at, you know, why do you think that Mr. Gray or Alan Gray's legacy primarily is in both the investment world and in the philanthropy aspect of things? Because obviously now a listener would be saying, okay, so this is a gentleman that decided on providing a specific service. And then at the same time, also in 2016, decided, you know what, let's also try to give back as you know, in terms of that particular responsibility. Yeah. How does it picture itself there?
Dwight, it reminds me about a story that is well known within the organization. So Alan visited the offices in Johannesburg, and one of the executives came out of the elevator and he saw Alan busy writing his particulars into the visitor's book. And so it was evident that, the officer that welcomed him.
Are you talking about at the reception?
Exactly.
When you come through.
Yes. Yeah. So the officer there did not recognize that it was Alan Gray, but because of the humble person that he is, you know, without having any egoistic, you know, sort of responses to the request, he just did what he was supposed to do, right? And so Alan's legacy in the investment world is also characterized by his pioneering approach to long-term value investing. In philanthropy, he is remembered for his extraordinary commitment to education and entrepreneurship as catalysts for societal change. And Alan is sort of believed in the notion that success is not just what you achieve for yourself, but for what you inspire others to achieve. And so this belief continues to drive our work at the foundation and the business as well. And that's sort of what we've been standing on. And I think, you know, the value that has really come through, you know, from being a humble and a servant leader into the rest of the organization.
On that quick note there, Gavin, we'll quickly take a short break and we'll come back right after this.
Time. When you're a kid, it moves slower than a sloth trying to get through airport security. There is just so much of it. Skip forward a few years to your 20s. Time is still your friend. It says have some balance. Go party and have fun. Then your 30s hit. And time suddenly steps on the accelerator like it's trying to catch a traffic light before it goes red. 40s. Now time is moving faster than your 10-year-old on a sugar high. 50. You're desperately trying to save as much as you can, but time is moving so fast. And all you can think is, where did all the time go? That's why after 50 years of investing, we've learned that time is the greatest gift of all. And the good news is, if you invest early, time gives you money. And then money gives you more time for some much-deserved you time. Now, isn't that a compelling enough reason to invest? Alan Gray, long-term investing. Alan Gray is an authorized FSP.
Now, coming back, dear listeners, to primarily the business and economic segment here in partnership with Alan Gray Namibia, here on your number one talk radio station, that is Eagle FM, welcoming you once again to your Wednesday edition, which is episode 5 of the Alan Gray business economic segment engagements that you have here every Wednesday night here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. In studio for tonight, if you are just switching on, do not worry, guys, for evening, I actually have someone else here. For the past 4 weeks, we had Mr. Etienne Leroux. Tonight, it's Mr. Gavin Frey. And ultimately, we've just highlighted the particular talking points emanating from the Alan Gray Orbis Foundation in terms of also how this has, you know, primarily when it was set up, what it looked like, and ultimately, sort of like what were the motivating factors so far. Gavin, just where we left off primarily, we did look at the notion in terms of, you know, the investment world as well as also the philanthropy, where you also highlighted the exciting little story about Mr. Gray just, you know, also complying basically and entering his name at the reception book itself. But the next particular talking point is literally if you could walk us through, you know, the particular history of the company itself as Alan Gray, and just how it evolved over the particular years, because the timeline that you also sketched us, 1973, 1983, under, I'm just highlighting, remembering under correction, then ultimately, you know, flowing into the rest of that, Namibia, and how, where we find ourselves, 2024. Obviously, we know where we are, 2024. You are talking here to us, but also just in that particular growth pattern, how did you translate, what was the particular journey? That it ultimately has flowed into.
Yes. So, I mean, Alan Gray Limited was started as a small investment firm, and it has now grown into one of Africa's largest independent asset managers. The company's evolution was marked by a steady growth, guided by Alan's focus on independent research and long-term value creation. And that's also what we saw in the foundation, right? So, I think it's important to mention that, you know, when we identify beneficiaries for the foundation that goes through our programs, it's a lifelong journey that we partner with them. So when you're in till you blow out your
don't make it sound so dramatic.
But for the better, right?
Yeah, for the better, yeah.
For the better, to ensure that, you know, we equip those individuals not just with the right educational skills, but also assistance otherwise, like, you know, giving them capital to start their businesses amongst others.
And just primarily also, which then helps us to sketch the next particular notion about vision. Specifically, if you look at how did the vision that the Alan Gray Orbis Foundation also, you know, come about in this regard? You mentioned the very good scene in terms of back in 2016 where both Mr. Gray and his wife decided, you know what, let's give back.
Yeah.
Now, in this regard, you know, also how does the vision primarily of that come about, you know, formalizing it basically. Yes. Yeah.
So the vision for the Alan Gray Orbis Foundation stemmed from Alan's belief in the transformative power of education and entrepreneurship. He once said that education is the most powerful tool we have to change the world, right? And this belief inspired the creation of the foundation to empower young Namibians. Actually, not just Namibians, because remember the Orbis Foundation is a global organization, so it's global. It's earmarked towards global youth to become high impact entrepreneurs. For Namibia in particular, the foundation was formed as part of Alan Gray's Namibia Citizen Empowerment Initiative. Like I said, you know, where we acquired about 17% of the equity capital in Alan Gray Namibia. And so those benefits then flow through on a very broad basis. What we've decided is not to go the typical route where from a economic empowerment perspective, you select individuals that would then benefit, you know, for the duration of their lives. But we said this must be broad based in the real sense. And so therefore, you know, we are targeting various sort of individuals within the broader ecosystem. And to extend those benefits to them.
Yep, yep. And just to, if you can help me in this regard also, Gavin, in terms of like Namibia, you know, just a setting, Namibia, it's Namibia and I think Botswana, and there's a third country, is it Angola as well in that regard? Or am I speaking under correction? Just how did that, that's not outside of South Africa, for anyone trying to understand.
Yes, correct. So I'm the regional head for Namibia, Botswana, and Eswatini. So the Alan Gray Orbis Foundation outside South Africa is effectively headquartered in Namibia. So not Angola, Eswatini would be the third country. But we also have a presence elsewhere in Africa and East Africa. We operate in Ethiopia, Rwanda, and Kenya as well. And so the idea is that we spread that geographic footprint as far as wide as we can. But obviously, you know, with a limiting factor of our finances, as it were. But ultimately, you know, the dream is an African dream, and we try to expand into territories where it makes sense for us and where we can have the biggest impact.
Exactly. Now, just before just before the next ad break, which is actually quite a while away, if we factor in from the discussion, obviously from, you know, the vision that you just outlined, and ultimately also for the listener to understand, how does it factor into geographically here in Southern Africa? What were some of the challenges? Primarily, this would ultimately also outline, you know, in terms of the Alan Gray Orbis Foundation, you know, obviously in its starting off and the likes, but what were some of the challenges that Mr. Gray himself even faced in building his business and in the philanthropic endeavor or the philanthropic legacy alongside each other in that scenario?
Right. Yeah. So as with any business, especially in the investment management space, you know, it's faced by numerous challenges, including having to navigate market volatility and maintaining an independent approach in a very competitive industry, right? Mm. On the philanthropic side, the scaling of the foundation's impact while staying true to its values has been a significant challenge. And, you know, we're trying to find creative ways as to how we can scale that impact. His perseverance in these endeavors was driven by his conviction that great things are not achieved overnight, right?
Yeah.
But through sustained effort and commitment.
And that has been some of the particular, you know, sort of like the underlying message. Looking back at the four episodes, you know, that long-term engagement, long-term particular involvement, long-term mindset even to incorporate and ultimately also leverage, which then helps us to try and understand, you know, the aspect of terms of how has the foundation also remained true to the principles that Mr. Gray himself established when it was even founded in terms of, can we safely assume everything began in 2016? Gavin, is it like on the dot, or has there been a particular insight or legacy prior to that itself?
Yeah. Look, so 2016 was only the date where he and his wife decided to effectively donate their entire wealth for philanthropic causes. But if you look at when the Alan Gray Orbis Foundation was founded, it was actually back in 2005 already.
Yeah.
And so when the Namibian business was started in 1996, and the foundation in South Africa was founded in 2005. So we then followed suit in 2009, which was the date that the Namibian Alan Gray Orbis Foundation was formally established. So 2016, he basically just notched it up and showcased to the world that, you know, you have to put your money where your mouth is, right? And for the right reasons.
Yeah, and ultimately it is very impactful. Now, still primarily looking at the aspect in terms of the foundation itself, how has it tried to remain true to the principles? I know that my second question sort of like overlapped into the first one, but just highlighting that once again, how has it tried to stay, you know, or try to remain focused on the principles in that regard?
Right. Mm. The foundation has remained true to Alan's principles by consistently focusing on long-term impact. Remember, that's what you also alluded to, but also quality and integrity. Alan believed to leave a lasting legacy, one must remain steadfast in purpose and committed to doing what is right, even when it's difficult. Mm. And so this belief continues to guide our mission and our approach in the foundation.
And it ultimately, dear listeners, just to let you know, before the next particular short ad break, even in that regard, with regards to the long-term vision, which has also been the theme that we have emphasized for 5 weeks, But ultimately it does play into it, Kevin, because I mean, long-term helps to also speak to a notion of that you know what the results will be.
Yeah. You're
obviously looking at a particular vision that is associated to it. Mm. And the notion is ultimately seeing how it manifests.
100%.
It's just the how that obviously has to be defined.
Yes.
But it's very interesting regarding, you know, the particular insights that when you know what you've shared so far, the aspect of philanthropy, how it has to play the particular widespread role. Obviously, I like the Teboho analogy that you used. I know a lot of Namibians were also, you know, excited for the guy. But when we try to look not locally, but in the African sense, the next particular question highlights also the vision primarily of both Alan and his wife, Jill, which is literally a notion of inspiration. You know, what inspired both of, or the couple primarily, the Gray couple, to commit to philanthropy on such a large scale?
Yeah.
Because many Namibians would obviously, you know, I've built this business, and now I'm just giving it away to my, okay, it's your own foundation, yes.
Right.
And I'm just giving away, but what inspired them? Because obviously each person is unique with their particular goals and their particular impacts. Mm. So how does it play out?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think one of the most well-known, or which is probably more popular foundations, is the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And so very similarly, Alan and Jill, they were inspired by the belief of using wealth to create positive societal impact and outcomes, right? So Alan sort of believed that the true value of wealth lies in how it can be used to uplift others and create opportunities for those less fortunate.
Mm.
And so this conviction drove their decision to dedicate the majority of their wealth for philanthropic causes. So that really is the essence of how they landed into that space.
And that ultimately, dear listeners, is one of the particular sort of like key discussions, because before the short ad break actually creeps up on us, dear listeners, do remember that with the halfway point, if there are calls to coming through, do remember I will have to put on a small particular sort of like, how can I call it? A small sort of like condition, restriction. We've got to keep the questions close, or we've got to keep the questions tight, as well as also there's a lot that Mr. Frey or Gavin will actually share with us. The second notion is also, do remember that you can drop us an SMS, a text on 1040 on our SMS line. Do remember that standard costs also apply to sending a text message. If not, if the message cannot make it through this evening, do remember we can also still have it answered next week. That's ultimately in terms of how it factors into the Alan Gray Orbis discussion for this evening. Now, Gavin, the interesting thing, just over the next particular minute, but I don't actually want to sort of like pressure you to answer everything in a minute now, but the next particular insights will obviously be the significance of the decision that they made. Mm. And ultimately, this is based upon the idea in terms of the decision to donate the majority of primarily their wealth, and that is into the charitable causes that ultimately is aligned with it. But before we do that, dear listeners, we're quickly going to step into a short break. We'll be back here on your number one talk radio station. This is the business and economic segment in partnership with Alan Gray Namibia. In studio tonight, we have Mr. Gavin Frey from the Alan Gray Orbis Foundation, but the Namibian, I can't say edition, not variant.
Leg of the business.
Yeah. Leg of the business. thank you, Gavin. That's actually a good one. Leg of the business. But on that note, dear listeners, we'll be back after this short break.
Imagine if you could save time like you save money. A second here, a minute there. Type a little faster, walk a little faster. Or you could stop scrolling on the internet. Just think of all the hours you'll save. Now what if you could take all that time and invest it? Watch it grow. Until eventually, one day, you'd have so much time that you wouldn't know what to do with it all. But unfortunately, time doesn't work like that. It can't be stored or banked. And unlike money, you can't make it back. That's why after 50 years of investing, we've learned that time is the greatest gift of all. And the good news is, if you invest early, time gives you money. And then money gives you more time to do whatever you want to do. Even if it is scrolling on the internet. Alan Gray, long-term investing. Alan Gray is an authorized FSP.
Now coming back, dear listeners, and welcoming you on the business and economic segment for this Wednesday edition, which is in partnership with Alan Gray Namibia, here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. And ultimately, as we find ourselves primarily into the third week of August, on this 21st of August, ultimately, we are taking a look primarily at the Alan Gray Orbis Foundation, but Namibia, leg of the Namibia segment of the particular foundation. And in studio today is Mr. Gavin Frey from the Alan Gray Orbis Foundation, here accompanying me to try and also help us understand how the particular foundation, approaches to assisting. No, once again, Gavin, you'll have to help me here. Is it Namibians are Africans? Yes.
Yes.
But I can't say that all Africans are assisted from the Alan Gray Namibia, the Alan Gray Orbis Foundation Namibia perspective, because you outlined also there's the East Africa, South Africa, and the likes.
Correct.
Yeah. And from that specific discussion, this is now where some of the also the understanding behind the Alan and Jill approach in terms of, you know, the significance of what they did.
Yeah.
If we look at what is the significance of the decision to donate the majority of the wealth to the charitable causes or the charitable endeavors in this regard, you know, how does what was the picture? What does it look like?
Yeah. I mean, that decision basically underscore Alan and Jill Gray's belief in responsibility of wealth, right? Where we say that wealth is a resource that must be managed with care, with an eye towards creating enduring benefits for the society. And their donation effectively ensured that their legacy continues to support initiatives that drive positive change for generations to come.
Mm. And the another particular important one is also about, you know, how have the philanthropic efforts influenced others in the business world as well? Because, you know, when people read online or whether read in, you know, print or on social media platforms or on print media platforms,
yeah,
there's always this idea in terms of so many particular, I don't want to say wealthy individuals, but rather they do have endeavors in terms of where they also try to assist broader right. societies. How is that inspired? How does that transfer also the particular kind of philosophy that Mr. Gray and his wife have also transferred into the business world?
Yeah. I mean, so if you consider their philanthropy, I think it has set an example to the business community in Namibia, and globally, right?
Mm.
Demonstrating that success can be measured not only by financial returns, but by societal impact. Alan is quoted to say that, you know, our true worth is reflected in how we use our success, right, to create value for others. And it's sort of this mindset that has inspired other business leaders to think more deeply about their own contribution to society.
Now, from that specific perspective, we also have a notion in terms of, you know, where does the Alan Gray Orbis Foundation also fit within the broader Alan Gray group? Obviously, the discussion about the foundation for tonight is that if a listener is now thinking, okay, so, you know, you've outlined the sort of like the philosophy at the start in terms of how Mr. Gray himself and his wife, Jill, also came to the, you know, the idea, listen, 2016, let's provide this. But then it still factors in to, you know, a particular philosophy that fits into the rest of the group in itself.
Yeah.
So how does this position itself?
Yes. So if we focus on the Alan Gray Orbis Foundation, remember there's a host of other vehicles and tools that operate independently from the Alan Gray Orbis Foundation. So the Orbis Foundation is just one initiative in how they create impact that drives societal change. And if we focus on the Alan Gray Orbis Foundation, like I said, you know, it also operates as an independent entity within the broader Alan and Jill Gray ecosystem. While it's aligned with the group values, the foundation focuses specifically on educational and entrepreneurial initiatives.
Mm.
It's this independence that allows the foundation really to concentrate on our mission, which is really guided by the belief of Alan that education is the key to unlocking potential and driving sustainable change.
And primarily just in terms of the next particular point, we've obviously also seen that the foundation has its own particular, you know, its own particular sort of like value proposition in terms of, you know, some of the goals that it tries to achieve, like you highlighted, education and broader societal impacts. If we've worked from, you know, what is the foundation's overarching strategy? It's not to be confused to listeners with the ultimate goal, but an overarching strategy also highlights primarily how you go about providing or achieving the goals that primarily would be set. What does it look like? How does it manifest? You know, what are the particular sort of like, can I also ask what are some of the sort of like examples in terms of the goals in that regard?
Yeah, sure. So because the investment industry is quite regulated, you can imagine that from a compliance perspective, we also got to make sure that all of the boxes are ticked. Mm. So the Namibian Foundation is led by an independent board of trustees, where the majority of them are non-executives, which means that they are, you know, individuals that do not work for Alan Gray, right? Mm. And so they are primarily responsible for the strategy. And if we consider the strategy in particular, the strategy centers around identifying, nurturing, and supporting individuals with exceptional entrepreneurial potential, right? Mm. And so we focus on creating an enabling environment where these individuals can thrive. And this approach reflects Alan's belief that, you know, empowering individuals to realize their potential creates that ripple effect that benefits the entire community.
And that ultimately also highlights a significant sort of like understanding in terms of where you mentioned the educational, you know, the educational or basically assisting through the educational pathway.
100%.
Just before we also highlight just before we creep into the next ad break, one other particularly important thing is a notion primarily also, Gavin, that when we look at how does the, you know, the foundation also in this next particular question, how does the foundation also ensure that the programs actually align with the long-term vision? Now, it's a good thing. You also outlined primarily, you know, that most of the board members are ultimately also non-executives, which is a nice thing because many Namibians ultimately think when they look at, you know, the impact that foundations in the country, and this is just in a Namibian perspective,
yeah,
because I've also had that, you know, usually it's people that you would find in the day-to-day discussions of things. But ultimately in this, as you're outlining it, is that it's people that have to highlight, listen, this is what it looks like. It's a foundation. It has its particular own goals.
Yeah.
So don't worry about it. Just highlight this. But yeah, back to the question that I asked, because I'm actually sort of like layering up there.
Yeah.
If when we look at the particular talk of, you know, how does it ensure that the programs actually align to long-term goals? How does it stick to the particular goals and the visions that are set for it?
Mm. We ensure alignment by regularly reviewing our programs against key performance indicators and also our long-term objectives. Feedback from stakeholders is crucial in this process.
Yeah.
And, you know, we try to remain effective or when we want to be effective, we must be willing to adapt while staying true to our core principles, right? Mm. And so it's this philosophy that informs our continuous improvement efforts.
And it's ultimately a good thing that you're noting on philosophy, because we asked a little bit earlier also about the philosophy insights.
Yeah.
And philosophy is good, obviously, because philosophy helps to guide the goals, the principles, strategies right. In that regard. Now, on that next particular leading point, which is also, you know, one in terms of how can, like a descriptive scenario, could you also describe Gavin, in terms of the main programs that are offered by Alan Gray?
Yeah. Dwight, there's been some developments over the years.
I should have said Alan Gray Orbis Foundation.
Orbis Foundation.
Not just Alan Gray, because people would then go, oh, okay, so now the investment arm is now ultimately also providing
a
foundation. Yeah, but the Alan Gray Orbis Foundation, yeah.
Correct. So, I mean, there's been quite a growth in the number of initiatives that we are involved in directly and, you know, at the foundation. We started off with what we call the Scholars Program, which was sort of earmarked to identify high flyers in primary schools in grade 6 already. We would then place them at selected schools in Windhoek. The idea was actually to identify those high flyers in areas where economic, you know, circumstances are not necessarily beneficial for them to progress and to assist them to unlock that potential that they have.
Mm.
So we partnered with the likes of Windhoek High School, Delta, Windhoek Gymnasium, and we placed these students there. And we've had a number of students come through that program. And that naturally goes into our next program, which is the fellowship, which is at the moment the heartbeat of the foundation. And the fellowship opportunity effectively provides support financially and otherwise in terms of socio-economic support to university students at selected partner universities.
Mm.
And once they've gone through, you know, the academic side of things, I think it's also important to mention that while students are at university, we train them in leadership over the 4 years, and also in entrepreneurship skills and education over the 4-year period. So it's quite a rich program that adds value to the individuals that ultimately graduate at university. So not only when they come back to Namibia to seek employment, do they have an honors degree, but they have the extra value add in terms of, you know, the leadership and also the entrepreneurship thinking.
Just before we, you know, we've got like 3 quick minutes just before that. But when we look at like what you just highlighted now in terms of the rounding out of, you know, the skill set for that's ultimately the candidate, which is leadership and the entrepreneurship notion. There's a very good point that you also mentioned in this at the start of our talk, highlighting also the aspect in terms of can we safely assume it's like business creation as well?
100%.
When, you know, when the foundation has assisted or assisted a candidate in that regard, is it in that particular scenario also having that business, not business development, but almost like business nurturing 100%. Perspective?
Yes. So those would be exactly the right words to use, because we actually nurture the talent, right? So not just identify them, but to support them, to expand the thinking. Because generally, if you think about school leavers these days, they go to university with a particular career in mind, which is either you become a doctor, a chartered accountant, a tax consultant, investment manager, whatever the case might be. Mm. But entrepreneurship is never really
at the forefront
of the choice. Exactly. Yeah. So the purpose of our program is to expand that. So whilst we are acutely aware of the fact that, you know, we're building skills capacity for our country. And mind you, it's important to mention that, you know, all of our beneficiaries don't necessarily have to work for us, neither do they have to pay any dollar back. Mm. So they come into the employment market, and in fact, some of them work for the competition. There's no dollar that they need to pay back to us. And I think that really shows the commitment and how serious the foundation is about, you know, making that lasting impact, and not necessarily having, you know, to sort of take pictures and get the recognition. And then that, taking it back to who Alan was, as the humble guy that he was, is really where the foundation is coming from and what it stands on. Yeah.
So it has to be like almost like a picture of resonance, because you see the resonance moving up and down between the values that are transferred, which also ultimately outlines the, you know, the overall results, you know, because it is about, you know, what kind of candidates come back, the skill sets that they've been, that have been installed in them.
Right.
I know it's not like a software update that you're giving a human, but it ultimately also helps that in terms of what is the overall picture going to look like in the Namibian economic space.
Yeah.
Gavin, we've quickly got the next ad break creeping up on us. So we'll be back after this, dear listeners, with the next particular segment, ultimately getting into the fourth quarter for this evening's discussion. We'll be back right after this. Stay tuned.
There's a song that goes, "Money can't buy me love." And that's true. But then they told us all you need is love, which anybody with a mortgage will tell you most certainly is not true. Love won't pay your parking tickets or your student loan. It's also needy. It requires effort, availability, constant care. But more importantly, love requires time. And while money can't buy you love, it can certainly free up some of your time. Time to spend on the things you love, with the people you love. And if you're looking, maybe even time to find the one you love. That's why, after 50 years of investing, we've learned that time is the greatest gift of all. And the good news is, if you invest early, time gives you money. And then money gives you more time to do the things you love. And don't you love that about investing? Alan Gray, long-term investing. Alan Gray is an authorized FSP.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Now, coming back right from the extended ad break right there, dear listeners, this is your business and economic segment here on your Wednesday evening. This is once again the business and economic segment in partnership with Alan Gray Namibia. For this evening's discussion, we do have Mr. Gavin Frey in studio from the Alan Gray Orbis Foundation, and primarily also helping us to understand the impacts and also what the foundation stands for, how the foundation came about, as well as also the philosophy behind it, which primarily is also, you know, how it came about in that regard, because philosophy also leads primarily to certain particular real world results that you would see. Kevin, if we get back, you sketched us a very good picture just before the break in terms of, you know, some of the particular understanding from the notion of looking at the main programs that ultimately are on offer, and also sketching, you know, how does it help the candidates? Usually the candidate at that stage, because you made mention of schools, they'd still be a learner. I didn't get to ask this particular question, but, you know, how does it usually work in terms of identifying the candidate? Is it like a broader approach, for example, or is it like the candidates have to apply in a specific scenario?
Correct. So they go through a formal assessment. So there's an application form that's to be completed. Mm-hmm. But I think I must also point out that, you know, we started with a scholars program back into 2006 or 2009, rather, mm-hmm. when the Namibian Foundation was started. But we ran that program for about 8 years.
Yeah.
And then we realized that, you know, we in order for the students to get to the next level, we also need to sort of push resources into the fellowship, mm. And the fellowship now being focused on university, and that program has sort of overshadowed. It has grown so much, and it's quite a costly exercise that we've actually decided to can the scholars program for now. Mm. So at the moment, when it comes to entrepreneurship education and sort of where that journey starts, mm. for us at the moment, it starts with a fellowship. Mm. And so as an AS level student, you would have the opportunity to apply. And then there's a whole process till, you know, the end goal where we basically select you as an individual to form part of the foundation. Yeah.
So safe to say it's everything does start on the high school level or from the school level, and then it cascades into the candidate being successful, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. I'm maybe going to jump the gun a little bit, but what we've effectively done this year, we've replaced the high school scholars program with what we call the Alan Gray High Schools game, online game. Which is an innovative way how we try to instill and
teach. I should have started there.
Entrepreneurship skills.
I should have started there.
And Dwight, it's such an exciting program. You know, it was the official launch of the program this year for the first time, and mm-hmm. we had 1,500 students actually register and play for the game. Mm-hmm. There's an extension of the game that's currently still being played. We call it the Business Pitch Competition, mm-hmm. where we invited the top 200 learners that played the high school's game to identify a problem in the community. They basically send us a pitch that they record, and they then go through a process where we will select the top three, and between the three of them, they get to share and prize money as well towards those initiatives.
So ultimately, it does have a real-world impact,
100%,
the exercise. Yeah. Plus, they also, if they are the winning team, then obviously they're still continuing on with their particular dreams,
yes,
in terms of following their particular development. And then ultimately, like you highlighted, the entrepreneurship, leadership, rounding off. Mm. Let me ask that specific insight, because even when, and I know you also might have seen it on university, usually the notion of leadership is not something that is usually sort of like associated with formal learning.
Yes.
How is that incorporated into like the overall training aspect for a candidate?
Yeah. So if we consider the personal development and leadership skills in particular, mm. You know, things such as group work, where you are sort of invited to what we call the jamboree, mm. And you guys decide to work in groups to solve a solution, And so within the group, there are certain dynamics that needs to be managed. So you tend to find that there are individuals with stronger personalities and ones with less stronger personalities.
You're bringing up memories for me.
And so within such a setting, you're already making the learners aware that in order for you to have the best idea, you don't necessarily have to talk the loudest, but you also have to listen and hear what the rest are saying, right? Mm. And so that communication skill is embedded right there. Mm. And so we've got a whole formalized program that effectively runs over the 4 years whilst they're at university. And this was just one example of how you would practically see that play out, and hopefully a skill that the students would pick up through that interaction to assist them to grow as individuals, to be more considerate, to your next fellow human being. And that is what we call leadership.
And that's actually a very good thing. You know what? It's one of the few things, primarily when you have to look at the notion of entrepreneurship. I just have to highlight it also in terms of my own pathway. One of the particular significant discussions that also have come into play in the modern Namibian tertiary service provision has been how to get people be job ready.
Yes.
But there's a little game that is played by assessors of the programs. They tell you, okay, the one that I participated in was imagining that you are in a almost like on a factory line,
right?
And you have to build a car.
Yes.
Someone has to be the team leader. Someone has to be at, and then you've got various stations.
Right.
And then, like you explained, the synergy that then has to then manifest. What does it look like? Dear listeners, don't worry, guys. It's a notion of don't think that you are the boss.
Yes.
Now, how important is that particular, like you explained it as well as also, you know, that get together, the jamboree, the synergy, looking at, you know, the aspect in terms of group work. How does it transfer through in both the entrepreneurship and the leadership discussion in that regard?
Yeah. So how that sort of filters through into entrepreneurship in particular is that, you know, we also allow them the opportunity to ideate, to validate, and to test those business ideas. And so they can also decide, you know, even whilst they're at varsity, even if you just have an idea that you're toying with, you can decide, do you want to run and further develop that on your own? And we would assign a business coach to you to refine and to guide you, you know, as you progress in your thinking. Or what you can also do is invite some of your fellow candidate fellows, as we refer to them, to form part of that business. So if you want to create an app, for example, and you don't necessarily have the IT skills, you have the opportunity to partner with one of our candidate fellows who's studying IT, for example. And so there, with that synergistic benefits, as you've also alluded to, you know, that collaboration right there speaks to the person not just thinking about himself, but ultimately is focused on the solution, right?
Yeah.
And to getting to that point where you have a team of people that can come up with something unique to address a social issue, for example. And just, you know, our candidates being able to look beyond their own ambitions and to realize that for you to be successful, you don't necessarily have to fight, but it's in the collaboration and to think beyond, you know, just what sort of meets the eye.
Mr. Free, that's actually a very good thing, because you know what? I'm actually starting to miss the guidance counselors that we had in high school. Because one of the reasons ultimately was our guidance counselors also tried to find the best pathway, the course way. You remember those little tests that we also had to go through?
Yes.
My goodness, like I have to, when I remember it back, it was almost like like in a different century even. Yeah. But just based upon that, and this is ultimately where we're only left with the last 4 minutes for this evening's discussion. But the notion in terms of how, you know, the foundation helps the, well, you know, not to indicate that, you know, there were also primarily candidates that came through and have gone into the broader ecosystem of the Namibian economy, even though you call it the competition. I'll just phrase the term competition differently in terms of the broader ecosystem in Namibia.
Right.
Obviously, it has generated much particular impact in terms of seeing that there are Namibians that can also participate anywhere else. Like you also highlighted the notion in terms of not knowing that they are pegged down in terms of owing or having a responsibility, paying back, but actually carrying on with a particular notion, which is almost like flag bearing, you know, bearing the flag that this was the particular support system provided, yes. And you are cascading the, you know, can I say goodwill?
100%,
can I
yes.
use, yeah. You're cascading yeah. the goodwill forward in terms of, you know, the skills development, entrepreneurship insights, the approach to solutions and problem solving, and then just continuing. Everyone sees this. So if we look at that particular discussion for this evening, you know, how does it, I don't want to ask you to be a weatherman, but how does it look like primarily going into the future?
Yeah. So,
you without know, weather forecast.
So like we said right in the beginning, it's all about the long-term play and the fact that we journey with these individuals. So we know, you know, whilst they are working in the broader ecosystem, there is still value that they bring to the table, right? Because they are leaders in the organizations where they work. But what we continue as part of that lifelong journey is to say that, you know, we still support them with additional sort of mentoring and coaching along the way. Mm-hmm. So to the extent that any of those, what we then call them fellows, after they graduate from university and then they start work, is that we remain committed to the development, especially in the space of entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. So much so that we've set aside a pool of capital that's going to be available to those fellows. So, you know, once they have a business idea that's commercially viable, we as the foundation would give them the seed capital to actually start up that business and then to grow and scale that business into hopefully an enterprise that can employ, that can create employment and you know, extend that positive ripple effect into the rest of the community. So that is sort of the long-term play, right? And you know, there are other initiatives that they still form part of. So we don't just leave them out in the open. Like I said, it's still the final day for whoever forms part of the program.
100%. Now, on that note, Mr. Frey, I'd like to thank you. Obviously, this is episode 1 of 2 that I've actually have the how do I call it, the luxury of actually accessing and, you know, having these discussions with you.
Right.
Obviously, we'll be back with a particular also delving deeper in terms of some of the subject matter, but just on anything final that you wish to add before we end our discussion this evening, and then just, you know, looking forward to next week's discussion, because obviously there's a lot more I will also want to ask you getting into next week, but we'll contain it for next week's particular talk.
Yeah. No, thank you very much for having me. You know, working for the foundation has been also life-changing, not just for the individuals that go through our program, but also for me personally. I think the fact that we can see high-impact, you know, entrepreneurs in the making as they go through the process, it's really something that...
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Now, just coming back from the quick break right there, dear listeners, and just where Mr. Frey left off in terms of just looking at the last message before we end tonight's discussion, just where you left off, Mr. Frey, primarily looking at the impacts as well.
Yeah. So as I was saying, you know, I get so much joy from seeing these individuals grow and unlock that potential that they have. It's an honor for me to be talking about the initiatives of the foundation. And there's still much more that we can delve into next week as to the future and how we try to expand the impact that the foundation will make and continue to make in our country.
And on that particular note, dear listeners, I would like to once again thank you, Mr. Frey, or thank you, Gavin, for this evening's discussion. Obviously, we'll be back next week. Dear listeners, do remember that this was the Business and Economic segment in partnership with Alan Gray Namibia for your Wednesday edition here on your number one talk radio station, that being Eagle FM. Let's see each other again, same time, same place, for any particular questions that might have been asked or might have been sent through, because I do see the phone line flashing. Unfortunately, guys, it's a bit late right now. Let's see each other again, same time, same place. Do stay tuned for the next program to come on after the break.
This program was proudly brought to you by Alan Gray, building long-term wealth for our clients since 1973.